Hey guys, welcome to a brand new solo episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. I've got a really interesting show for you today. Well, at least I think it's interesting. You guys are going to have to tell me what you think. But I've got two topics that I've been dying to discuss. One of them I kind of discuss on an every show basis, but I don't really get into detail. We're going to do that today. The second one is more of a personal observation of mine. It's a little bit of finger pointing, a little bit of shit talking. You guys know it would not be In Your Head podcast if I wasn't doing those two things. So I'm going to definitely talk about that shit. And then we're going to discuss conspiracy theories and we're going to throw in aliens today. So stay tuned. Let's jump right the fuck into topic number one, which is something that I think about on a daily basis, something that really gets my juices flowing, something that I wish I had more of in my life right now, right this second, and that is men. Yes, men. Ladies, you know I support the living shit out of you. You guys know there's nothing that I would not do for you. I will go up to bat each and every fucking time for you. I consider myself one of the girls. I have your back, but let's keep it real. At the end of the day, I'm still a man. I know, that's fucking horrible, but I am a man. I may not exude masculinity like some men do, but you step on my tail, you rattle my cage, you come for me, and that masculine side, that male energy, is going to go straight for your throat each and every fucking time, and you don't want to be around when that happens. I probably get that from my dad. My dad is a scary motherfucker when he's upset. I used to think every time he'd yell at us as kids that he looked just like the devil. I'm pretty sure that's what I look like when I get upset, and that's probably the only time that I look my butchest or my most manliest is when I'm mad. So, yes, but I am still a man. I still dress like a man, have to act like a man, and I am here to speak on behalf of the good men. Ladies, try not to laugh at that. Yes, I am speaking on behalf of men today. I am here to let you know that not all men are pigs. Not all men are rapists. Not all men are assholes. Not all men are out to get you. I always say in every race, every religion, every state, every city, every country, whatever the fuck, there's always that one dumb motherfucker that ruins it for everyone. And the one dumb motherfucker that ruined it for men is that fat pig Harvey Weinstein. That motherfucker came in here and set men back eons. I know men have had a difficult time trying to prove themselves to women to let them know that, you know, they are supportive and they are there for them and that they're not out for one thing. And here comes this fat ass coming in here and ruining it for everyone. Again, I am here to let you know that not all men think that way. I know a good handful of men. I wish I knew more, but right now in this time and space, I only know a handful. And out of that whole handful, each and every one of them are really good men. They are the most loyalist. They are the most genuine. They are the most honest. Some of the greatest guys on earth I know. And I'm here to let you know again that there are more out there. We just have to find them. They are looking for us as well. They want to be noticed. They want to be seen. They want to be heard. They want the opportunity to prove themselves to us and let us know that they are not out for one fucking thing like that pig. So let's just keep that in mind. Let's not bash every single man. And because let's be honest here. If we did that, we'd have to point the finger at ourselves. We all know in a woman's camp, in our own camp, there's a lot of fuckery going on. There's a bunch of lying ass bitches, a bunch of shady ones, a bunch of fraudulent ones, a bunch of career biting ones, perversion as well. We'd have to point the finger in our direction and really start to take a real good look at ourselves. And we started pointing the finger at each and every single man. I'm on social media all the time. You know, I'm watching some of the people that I follow, some of the people that I fuck with on a daily basis, live their lives and be involved in their relationship. And there's one girl who I absolutely adore. I talk about goals when it comes to a relationship. This is someone that I met. I actually gave her a reading to a while back. Love the shit out of her. Love everything about their relationship. Her name is Erica. Erica, if you are listening, talk about hashtag goals when it comes to relationships. That man of yours, I mean, he is a good example of what men need to start following or how they should be acting when they're involved in a relationship, because he treats you like the queen that you are. And I'm not going to lie, bitch, I am fucking jealous. I am looking at that. I was like, how can I be down? And I've even joked with you and asked you, does he have a brother, a gay best friend, anyone out there for me? But yeah, there are some really good men. I am witnessing this. I am watching this. And they are really about their women. They are about having fun. This girl, Erica, is always out having a good time. She's always camping. She's always doing some fun shit. Always out in nature. Her boyfriend doesn't look like he's being dragged. He's always there laughing, having a good time. It's just, you know, there are men out there. We just have to find them. And she is living proof. All my friends are living proof that not all men are pigs. We should start crucifying the ones and going after the ones that are really doing damage, like that pig Harvey Weinstein. You couldn't fucking pay me enough money to scrape my knees for that fucker. I'm going to be funny here. This is not being disrespectful to the victims of Harvey Weinstein, but that's how he would have to get laid, is to have to force somebody to give it to him. Because take a real good look at him. Would you want to fuck him? Do you find anything? Is there one redeeming quality about that bastard that you can find? I can't. And again, yeah, I am not scraping my knees for no amount of money to service that pig. I mean, Jesus Christ. But yes, ladies, not all men are pigs. I live with one that's a really great guy. You guys know that's Jay. Jay has to be one of the most honest, one of the most down-to-earth, and one of the most genuine men I fucking know. When him and I have personal conversations about relationships and the future, I always tell him, I cannot wait to see your boring ass involved in a relationship, because you are going to make some woman very, very happy. He's going to make a great husband, a great dad. I can't wait to see that happen. He's one of the good guys, guys. There's nothing phony about him. I mentioned another great friend of mine on last week's episode, the one where I said he was going to beat the shit out of me if I revealed his name. That is another fucking great guy friend. I met him when I was living in New York. I was living there back in 2016. I was managed by somebody else, co-managed. Jay was still my first manager, but this other person was kind of co-managing me, and I was living in New York at the time. This woman was a Virgo. Yes, I'm going to shit on Virgos one more time, throw you guys under the bus. I am sorry. She was a Virgo. We didn't see eye to eye when it came to things. No harm, no foul. I got the fuck out of there. Tried to find the first flight back to LA. Had to wait overnight. Ended up staying in Jersey. My good friend at the time worked in the city, but lived in Jersey. I told him what the fuck was going on. He immediately came over to the hotel. This is a guy. once he's comfortable and he's ready, I'll show you pictures, but he is very masculine. He looks like he's not an Aries, but he reminds me of Aries type energy, that very Mars vibe, that god of war, that planet of action, that let's do this shit, that type of energy, very manly. Looks like he will strangle the fuck out of anybody that crosses his path in the wrong way, that kind of guy, but sweet as fuck underneath it all. He came to the door of the hotel room, saw how distraught I was and how fucking, you know, sad and miserable I was, and immediately hugged me. It was not a gay thing. It was not, you know, a pass at me. He genuinely cared, and he sat there for almost 4 hours talking things out with me and just being there, being a really good friend. And I will never forget him for that. He didn't have to. We just met a couple months back, but he really showed who he was to me. And I love him. And I love you very much for that. He is a good guy. Yes, I made a comment that his demons are the size of Texas. They will strangle the living shit out of somebody. He is probably not ready for a relationship right now, but when he is, and when all that shit starts falling off of him, he is going to make some woman very fucking happy. And I always joke with him. I'm like, God, if you were gay, we would make the perfect couple, because you are exactly what I look for in a man. He is all of that. The sweetest fucking guy I know, would never think about harming a woman. He's just like Jay. He has an excellent relationship with his mother. Jay has a fantastic relationship with his mother, a fantastic relationship with his sister. You can tell the exchange of energy between the three of them, and even with my friend, that they're very respectful of the female energy, and that they would never even think about hurting a woman. So yes, I'm using them as examples. I wish I knew more guys. I'm pretty sure I'm going to know a lot more in the future here, but these are good examples for me. And I just want to, again, I'm not here to be Captain Save-A-Ho and, you know, and save the world, but I do want to bridge the gap when it comes to men and women, because we go hand in hand. We're very important to one another. I'm going to share a personal story. I'm not going to get too deep with it, but I used to be very jaded when it came to men. I was in and out of relationships. I had horrible relationships with men, even growing up. You guys heard the story with my stepdad and how he treated me. That was constant growing up. His stupid ass, the next one that came in, and then, you know, being bullied in school, and then getting into my teenage years and having the essence of man come onto me. I remember when I was 15 years old, maybe 14, I had just lost my virginity, and I'm just gonna give a little bit of background here. My family is nothing to play with on both sides, my mom's side and my dad's side. My dad is Native American and they are crazy as fuck. There's always some bullshit going on. My mom's side is almost the same way, a little bit more tamed, but just equally as bad as well too. And I grew up with that type of energy. I grew up with the gangster energy. I grew up with the give no fucks type of energy. Speak your mind and do you. And that's how I was raised. So anytime any bullshit went down, all I really had to do was whistle. And I know that sounds too confident, but it's true. Nobody really realized the power of my family and the backup that I had. And I didn't realize it till I started getting older and gangster shit was starting to become more popular. Everybody was getting involved in it. And I was like, gangster shit. Like, I grew up with this. Like, my dad was a gangster. My mom's brother was a gangster. I've had all this shit around me. I was born into that. That is, if you will, a rite of passage for me. But I never flexed on it. I didn't start flexing on it until I got a little bit older. But let's tie back in the man. So 14 years old, I lost my virginity. Yes, I was extremely young, but I knew exactly what I wanted. I wanted to fuck this guy since I first laid eyes on him, and I actually accomplished it. So I got that taste of being in heat and wanting to fuck all the time. And I was feeling myself again. Again, this is 14, 15 years old. I thought I looked good. I was getting mad attention from people. Ended up going to a family function at my uncle's house. And my uncle is now passed. One of the... Oh my God, I am not going to get emotional on this episode, I swear to God, but he has to be like a second father to me. This man, there is nothing that he would not have done for me, and vice versa for him. There's nothing I would have done for him. This is the uncle that at 14 years old would send me and my cousin, the one that I'm close to, but with all the ghost stories that I'm fucking trying to get on here, out to go get beer. He would say, here's the keys to the car. We need more beer. We're too fucked up to go get it. Go get it. And I was like, they're not going to fucking sell me beer, you asshole. I'm 14 years old. And he's like, you know what to do. Go get it. Hurry up. You have a half an hour. We're almost running out. Gave me the keys, went to the liquor store, conned some dumb motherfucker into buying us beer, came back with the beer. First thing he said when he looked at me was, I told you can do it. He was that uncle. I love him. I loved him very, very much. Still love him. I'll get into more about him in a second. But this party that I was at my uncle's house, there, we were playing cards, we were drinking, we were smoking weed. I think there was coke there too. Again, my family is not very traditional and knew exactly what I was doing, and it was okay because we were all together. I know that doesn't make it okay, but that's how we roll. That's how we got down. And there was one gay guy that was there. He was the friend of the sister-in-law. He was very, very gay. I mean, you can tell. I wasn't completely out then. I was, you know, just experimenting. I was still very butch. I didn't look very, you know, maybe you could tell I was gay underneath it all. I think maybe he did. And so we're sitting there playing cards. We're all having a good time. And one of the girls loses her earring that's at the party. So everyone's getting up and looking for it. We're all fucked up, stumbling around. I asked the girl, I said, did you go to the bathroom at all? She's like, yeah, I was just in there. I said, well, let me go check the bathroom and see if your earring's in there. Walk down the hallway, get into the bathroom. And I'm looking around and all of a sudden the door closes and I look behind me and it's that fucking guy, the gay guy. And he's standing there. And I was like, oh, did you find it? And he's like, no, but I found something else. Remember guys, I'm 14, 15 years old. And I was like, what? And I look down and he's got his dick out and it's semi-hard and he's rubbing it. And he was like, do you want to put your mouth on it? I didn't know what to do. I got scared. I started crying immediately. And I know that sounds very pussy, but I felt like, honestly, I'm not making light of it. I felt like I was going to get raped. I was like, oh my God. And I knew everybody was out there, but I just didn't want him to touch me. And I pushed him out of the way and I ran out. I ran outside. My mom's like, what the fuck? I lied to her, told her that I was sick and we had to get out of there. I said, maybe I drank too much. Let's just go. So we ended up leaving. She knew that something more was wrong. So in the car, she's asking me what's going on. I told her exactly what happened. Make a long story short, that fucker ended up getting the shit kicked out of him. That really, really opened my eyes to men and the power of men and the power of being able to take whatever it is that they want. More like, I wouldn't say power, more like the overuse of power when it comes to somebody that's a little bit weaker than they are. That guy definitely showed it. He knew that I was underage and that pig decided to do it. That was like one of the first things that really happened to me when it comes to sexual abuse. And then a couple other things happened as I got older. But I really was jaded when it came to men. I thought all men were pigs. I thought every guy that I got involved with was going to be someone that I would end up fucking and that it would lead to sexual things because that's all guys want. So for the longest time, that's what I was thinking. Fast forward way down into my 30s, here comes Jay. You know, Jay and I have been together for 12 years, hanging out religiously, being best friends, brothers, soulmates, all the above. And for the first couple of years of our friendship, I really categorized Jay as one of those guys that was going to take advantage of me. I was like, this seems really great. He seems down to earth. He seems nice. What's the catch here? And there was no catch. It literally took me 2 years to be comfortable with him and realize that it was not going to be a sexual relationship, and that he was actually there for my best interest and really wanted to be a friend to me. I remember, again, arguing with him within the first couple of years and being like, okay, so I guess we're not friends anymore. And he was like, no, it's just an argument. Not every argument results in us not being friends. We're always going to have disagreements. We don't see eye to eye when it comes to certain things, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to turn my back on you. And I was like, okay. And again, it took me a couple years to get used to it, but he really proved himself. He stuck around. He's still here. I put that motherfucker through the ringer each and every day. If you saw some of the bullshit that I put on him, you guys would be like, poor Jay. From taking out some of my aggression and my anger when it comes to business shit, to playing practical jokes on him, to chasing him around the house with stupid shit. I mean, we really have a good time with each other. It's a real friendship. And again, ladies, any of you that are single out there looking for a really good guy, I've got one right here. He may not be 100% ready now, but that doesn't take away from the fact that he's a genuinely good man. And I am proud to call him my friend. I am proud to use him as an example. I've got other shit to talk about too when it comes to that. When it comes to bridging the gap between men and women, I just want everyone to see each other's worth. I don't want anybody distancing themselves out of, you know, bullshit that happened to them. I am also not shitting on the victim or, you know, pointing the finger and victimizing the victim at all. That's not what I'm doing on this episode here. I am simply saying that for those of us that have had, you know, bad experiences with men and are a little bit jaded from it, we have to learn how to heal. It didn't take me, you know, a couple months to heal. It took me a really, really long time to get over some of the shit that happened to me. I was physically abused by men. I was sexually abused by men. I could have easily slipped into becoming a product of my environment and not wanting to step out and completely distancing myself and being more of a whore than I was. But I chose not to. I chose to really dig deep, and I chose to really reclaim my power. And I started to think about it. These motherfuckers, for whatever reason they did what they did to me, they're not sitting at home and they're not giving one single fuck about what they did to me. I'm probably not even a thought in their fucking head. I'm probably not something that they think about on a daily basis, or they can really give a shit about what they did to. Why should I give a shit? I'm not saying that I forgive them or that I'm going to forget about it or find shit to distract me with to get over it. I just chose to think of it in that way. If they're not going to care, why should I give them that much energy? Why should I give them my power? Why should I give them my life? They don't give one single fuck about me. Why should I give them all of me? So it took a long time to heal. I really had to dig deep, go within, and really sort things out and really power myself up and really come to the terms that I didn't deserve it. I wasn't looking for it. There was nothing that I did on my end. There's just horrible people out there. But at the same time, I cannot point the finger at every single man and say that they're bad, because again, my guides, for whatever reason, then the angels, messengers, God, the universe, whatever the fuck the case may be, sent really positive men into my life to show me that there are really, really good men out there. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm trying to get to here, is that, ladies, not all men are the same. I've said this for the 100th time. Let's start healing from it. Let's start moving on. Again, for those of you that are having a more difficult time than others doing that, again, I am not pointing the finger at you. You do what you need to do to recover, to heal, to move forward from. That is you. You take all the time you need. I've mentioned this before. My guides don't allow me that luxury. They give me 2 or 3 days to get back on the horse, and then it's time to move. And it's not abrupt. It's not shitty. It's a lot of information that's being downloaded into my mind. All the scenarios being played out, all the different examples, asking me questions back and forth. If I understand why it is that they're giving me these ideas, or why they're putting these things into my head in order for me to heal, making sure I understand each and every step of the way. And I respond back, and I do. And honestly, it really helps me. I don't know if it's being psychic or a medium or having these types of guides that give me the advantage. But again, at the end of the day, I'm still Chris Medina. I'm still human. I am very material when it comes to my feelings. You guys don't see me on a daily basis. If I am not feeling the podcast, or I'm not feeling like doing readings and my energy's low, I will sit in bed until I am ready to get up. I do not force myself. that's the same thing that happened with when it came to healing. I took all the time that I needed to really process everything. When I say 2 or 3 days on my pity pot, that's for sitting there moping and sulking and not wanting to do anything. But it doesn't mean that I got over it right away. It took some time again. And again, you do what works for you. I am simply saying that at some point we have to learn how to trust each other, and we have to also give the opportunity to the other person to prove themselves to us, that they can be trusted and that we can let them in. That's all that I'm saying. This kind of leads me into my second topic here. I get so fucking irritated when I look on social media and I see people that are in the profession that I'm in, whether you're a psychic, an astrologer, medium, tarot reader, whatever the fuck, someone of the mystic arts, utilizing their ability or their so-called ability as a platform to discuss politics. That is not something that I get down with here. I do not mince words, and I do not manipulate with my ability at all. You will never, ever hear me say, let's vote for so-and-so because psychically I'm picking up this, this, and that. Never going to come out of my mouth. Never. I've never looked at an astrology book or read a chart that indicated that we needed to vote for a certain person because of X, Y, and Z, and this is what the universe is telling us. A lot of these people that are involved in the mystic arts or the metaphysical world tend to blur the lines when it comes to that and bring in their own personal belief system when it comes to voting or topics like, you know, women in power and trying to support women. And they start really pointing the finger at the innocent people and making them feel guilty for not stepping up to the plate. I am one of those people that, again, I don't get involved in politics. You will never hear who I vote for. You will never hear my views on things when it comes to that, because it's none of your business, and it's not something that I want to share with people. Those are my own personal beliefs. That's where they should stay. The minute that you start incorporating your personal beliefs and saying that it's part of, again, a spirituality, that's bullshit. But I'm watching some of these people go out there, and they're asking, man, when was the last time you supported a woman? And that's fucking ridiculous. What if these people don't want to get involved in it? Not because they don't want to get involved in it because of being a pussy or anything like that. They just don't want that type of energy or anything like that on their social media posts. They're very careful about putting their views out there. What if they have a high-end job or something that could jeopardize their livelihood or their job by putting that opinion out there? Who the fuck are you to tell them what they should be doing? Whatever's going on with you in your personal life is going on with you in your personal life. Do not infect other people with your shitty beliefs or your views on men because you've had a horrible relationship or a horrible time with them. You need to learn what's going on with you and fix what's going on with you inside before you start pointing the finger at somebody else, especially innocent fucking people, and making them look bad or making them feel guilty for not doing something that would be redeeming or positive in your fucking eye. Do not mix the lines of spirituality and politics or your own personal beliefs when it comes to shit and stamping it with, because I am a witch, because I am an astrologer, because I am a psychic, this is why I say X, Y, and Z. Nope. No place for it. And I'm going to shut you down each and every fucking time. I'm going to revert the attention right back onto you. At least with what I'm doing, sets me apart from everyone else. I am here to bridge gaps. I am here to empower, here to motivate. There is nothing pussy when it comes to me. There is nothing fake or fraudulent when it comes to me. I've told you before, I am willing to go against every fucking psychic out there. If anybody wants to test my ability or come for me, let's fucking do it. Like I've told you before, I'm not into fucking blowing people's minds out and predicting a whole bunch of shit for the future for them or dipping into their past and bringing up their past life. I'm here to discuss what's going on right now. Let's do it. That's all the ranting and raving I'm going to do on that topic there. I know. I'm horrible today, but infuriates the living shit out of me. You have no idea what I went through yesterday. All kinds of fucking crazy bullshit went down. I spent almost 8 hours trying to record an episode and could not for the life of me do it. I had to back the fuck up. I actually broke my fucking recorder and felt so ashamed when I did it. I actually went to Jay, and usually I'd be like, I broke this fucking thing. Get it out of here and throw it across the room. But I was like, I broke it. And I felt almost like a little kid going to their dad, telling them what I did. So let's talk about the positive sides of men, you guys. I said earlier in the show that I lost my virginity at a very young age. I did a show called V-Carded with Erin Darling. Shout out to you, Erin Darling. I did her show, went on there, exposed all my dirty laundry when it came to losing my virginity. Yes, lost it at a young age, 14 years old. I was just in junior high. We didn't call it middle school then. It was junior high. It was the summer of ninth grade, and lost it. And from then on, was like a bitch in heat when it came to fucking. I just couldn't help myself. My first experience was with a guy, and I fell in love with it. I don't know if it was because I watched a lot of porn when I was younger and got involved in weird shit like that, but I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew exactly how I wanted to do it. And from then on, from the age of 14, I just never looked back, and really put myself out there when it came to guys, got myself into a couple of good relationships. One of them was for almost 5 years. I really, really loved this guy. He was just an amazing person. I really did a number on him. I fucked that relationship up left and right. I was so insecure with myself. I was so angry and just in a bad spot at that time. A whole bunch of shit was going wrong. But the relationship that we had was so good. I mean, this is the guy that was in the bed with me when that thing tried to jump on the bed when it was breathing in the corner. It was that guy. He was a beautiful person inside and out. Didn't really deserve the shit that I put him through. To make a long story short, it didn't end up working out. So I really learned from that lesson. I really learned about relationships and like my part in it and what I did wrong and all the bullshit that I brought to the table. And during that time, I was feeling stagnant. I wasn't feeling myself. I ended up talking to my guides and telling them that I needed to change. I wanted to evolve. I wanted to grow. I wanted to go into the next phase of life. No sooner did I say that, shit started taking off again. I started to get more confident. I started to feel myself again. I got a little bit more confident. My guides had told me, go take an acting class, something that you could, that can showcase your personality or that can bring your personality out and make you feel comfortable talking to other people. And, just, you know, to give you some experience when it comes to dealing with people. And I said, okay. So I looked in the phone book. Yes, the phone book. Back then there wasn't a whole bunch of internet. And I found an acting studio in Thousand Oaks that I went to. Went there, went to the acting school, really, really loved it. Loved it so much that I became really good friends with the owners of the acting school and became an employee there. I actually helped run the talent department there and the casting department and met some really, really good people. Got involved with one of the students there, and he actually was employed by the studio as well, but we were both students. We would go there at night, work during the day, and we did not like each other to start off with. I mean, he was really rude to me. He obviously knew I was gay. He tried to avoid me like the plague. And just like clockwork, my guides set it up that we had to go on the same audition together. And we were leaving Thousand Oaks and had to be in Beverly Hills for the audition by a certain time. And I was like, do you want me to drive or do you want to drive? He's like, I'll drive. He's like, since we're going to the same place, we'll just, you know, it's cool. We'll go together. So it was really quiet on the way over there. There wasn't a lot of talking. I tried to make small talk. He wasn't having it. We went to do the audition. We both hated it. We were like, this is stupid. And I just broke the ice afterward. I was like, do you want to stop the bullshit and try to be friends or at least try to be cordial to one another? I'll take you out for lunch or whatever. And let's go hang out and get to know each other. He was receptive and he was like, okay. So we went out and had a good time. We had lunch. We found out that we had a lot of things in common. We were laughing our asses off and having a good time. I instantly felt a connection towards him. I'm going to say a romantic connection with him. He was straight at the time and I didn't know how to proceed. I did not want to come on to him. I did not want to go there. I did not want to bring out the gay card at all there. To me, I don't do that shit. I never try to make a pass on a straight man like that or abuse what I have or take advantage of anybody like that. I just wanted it to come naturally to see if he maybe had those tendencies. We can work from there, but I was not going to push the envelope when it came to it. A couple weeks later, we ended up hanging out, having drinks, having a good time, and he decided he was going to make his move. He made his move. We ended up making out, having a good time. We didn't have sex on that first night, but we actually established a connection and we decided that we were going to try this out. And it was going to be something that was going to be between him and I. He didn't want to announce it until he decided what the relationship was going to be about. So we did this for a few months. I honestly, when I tell you that I was in love with him, I honestly was. He was a really good guy. I loved the fact that he was 6'4". He was super tall. Really, really nice body, kind of on the bigger side. He wasn't skinny like I liked him. He was a little bit more cut or defined. Beautiful face, beautiful eyes, and just a great personality. We ended up hooking up, and the package, what was underneath the hood, matched everything beautifully on the outside. You ladies know what I'm talking about. I mean, he had a dick that I would literally get on my knees to worship. That's how beautiful it was. That's how fucking powerful it was. When it comes to dick, I'm telling you right now, I know how to cherish it. I know how to praise it. I know everything to do with it. Make no fucking mistake. He was really, really good in bed. So fast forward a little bit here. And again, I'm feeling myself. I'm back in my zone. I have lost a whole bunch of weight. Yes, I was doing coke. Yes, I was on drugs, but I was feeling myself. I was having a good time and I was involved with this guy, loving it. Here comes the devil. And I told you that motherfucker is always in the details. He comes with that wrench, knows the right time to throw it at you. This fucker came in. Let me back up here. I didn't work out too well at the studio. The owners were actually frauds. They were embezzling. They were just a whole bunch of shady shit went down when it came to them. I ended up leaving there, going back to the insurance industry. He ended up getting another job somewhere else, but we still were together and we still would hang out every day after work. I would go immediately to his house afterward. But at this insurance company, I met another guy. And he was obviously gay, and I've told you before, I'm into very straight-looking men, and I was completely fine with the guy that I was with, but this guy was interested in me, and he tried to come across as being, like, a little bit suave and a little bit, because he was 6 years older than I was, and trying to play the, you're so young card in this, this, and that, or whatever, you haven't reached the status of queen yet, you're still a princess, and try to use that reverse psychology on me to bring me out and to make me a little bit more interested. He didn't know I was psychic. He didn't know what I was about. He didn't know all the little, you know, all the little tricks in my bag of tricks that I had underneath, you know, that I had with me. He had no fucking clue. I let him play his position. I let him do what he needed to do. And we ended up becoming friends and hanging out, like, you know, during lunchtime and just, you know, talking shit. There was a couple of other queens that worked there. There was this really big, heavy set Filipino guy that was, when I say girl, bitches, you think I'm Queenie? This motherfucker looked like a Filipino version of Ross Matthews, except taller and had the same voice. He was just out of this world. He hated my living guts. He hated me because he was trying to go for the guy that was interested in me. And he was so desperate that he would literally give the guy that was interested in me a Louis Vuitton book or a book to buy shit out of and say, you can pick three things out and give it back to me when you're done. And he would try to buy this guy gifts. That's how fucking desperate he was to get this guy's attention. A bitch like me doesn't have to do shit like that. I just fucking show up and all eyes are on me, right? But yeah, it was that kind of energy there. It was a good time, a great bunch of people that worked at that insurance industry. I met a lot of really good people. A lot of gay guys worked there, in which I was completely, I never had the opportunity to have a lot of gay friends, but I made some really good ones there. Cut into this guy that was interested in me. God, I wish I could say his name instead of saying that guy or this guy here. We ended up hanging out a lot more after work or whatever. And again, I'm still seeing the guy that I was with at the studio. The guy that was interested in me at work decided he wanted to go take me out to the Abbey for drinks. And he was hitting on me like a motherfucker, talking all kinds of shit, saying that, you know, I bet you're all talk. I bet that you talk a bunch of shit, but you don't really get down the way that you say that you do. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, you come across very sexual, and I feel like that's an act. And then I was like, shut. I was like, if you want to fuck me, tell me you want to fuck me, but don't come at me with some bullshit like that. And he was like, I'd have to see it to believe it. And I know it's a very whorish move, and I know that it fucked up my relationship with my boyfriend, but I was like, rent me a room and make sure there's Coke in there and there's drinks. And I'll show you how I get down. And he was like, really? And he went and rented a room and called my bluff and said, let's do it. And we ended up doing it. And I blew his fucking mind, of course, but felt guilty when it came to that guy, my boyfriend. And I ghosted him. I know. I'm going to get to the story. There's a good moral to it. And, you know, I hate that word moral, but there's a good lesson to be learned from it. So yeah, I ended up ghosting the guy that I was with. I know it's horrible. He didn't fucking deserve it. If I could take that back, I would. He was such a great guy, just like the one that I had before. But this one I really, really was into. He was everything that I was looking for in a guy. No bullshit. Very honest. Very upfront. Yes, he wasn't honest with his sexuality, but I mean, that's his decision. That's how he chooses to put himself out there. It's not my place to drag him out and say, we're going to tell everybody everything. I was willing to go along with it there and go at a pace that was comfortable for him, as long as I knew that he was loyal to me and that he was really involved in this relationship, which he was. And like a dumb fucking idiot, I shat all over it and I went with the devil. And the guy that I worked with was the devil. We were together for almost 5 years after that. I know it's a fucking long ass time, but it was an up and down 5 years. He really taught me a bunch of different shit. I really, really sharpened my claws when it came to him. I got more in touch with who I am. I realized I can do more with my psychic abilities when it came to manipulation. And I know it's horrible, but that's how we got down. We fed off each other that way. He was a Leo with the moon in Taurus. I'm a Taurus with the moon in Pisces. I know they're not supposed to go together, but for whatever reason, me and Leos link up and we are down with each other. I don't know if it was that moon in Taurus. I always shit on moon in Taurus men here because they're always emotionally manipulative and they play themselves a certain way. There's an air of manipulation when it comes to them. I'll get into that in another episode. But yeah, I learned a lot from him. The relationship was all over the place. It was very abusive. I played a huge part in that as well too. So I'm guilty when it comes to it. We used to beat the living shit out of each other. I remember one time, keep in mind, guys, I was high on coke at this time. I was really, really into myself. I was even doing a little bit of meth. I'm not proud of it, but that's where I was at the time and really feeling myself. He was a total con artist. I did not realize this till we got further into the relationship. He was good at what he did. He was very manipulative, and I don't know how he fucking pulled it off, but we would go out of town to Vegas, to Palm Springs, to San Francisco, to New Orleans, you name it, we were there free. He manipulated the living fuck out of everything. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. It got to the point where we ended up doing some shady shit when it came to certain things, and he got deeper and deeper into it. Psychically, I knew this was going to come to an end. I knew that something bad was going to happen. It obviously doesn't take a psychic to realize you're going to get busted one day, but during this time of the relationship, he is one of those people that I told you before in the last one. There's two things that I will not accept: having my time wasted and being lied to. And there's so much backstory to this relationship. I'm going to get into it real fast. I find out that he used to date a guy that was HIV positive. Nothing wrong with that. That's what you choose to do. That's what you choose to do. If you're down like that and you feel like you're safe and confident enough to have sex with somebody that's infected, that's fine. That's not how I get it. I could not risk it at that time. My daughter was like 2 years old. My son was one. No fucking way. I am not that fucking reckless. Believe it or not, you guys, I talk a lot of shit. I get down dirty as fuck, scrape my knees up all the time, but I always fuck with a condom. And I always practice safe sex. I don't care what anybody says. I get down that way. There's just too much bullshit. I am not going out like that. But I found out that he dated somebody that had HIV and he had sex with him. And he didn't tell me this till after we had had sex. I was fucking beyond fucking livid. If remember that movie Kill Bill, when she sees the people that she hates and that fucking blaring sound goes on, that's the same look that I gave that motherfucker when he told me. I'm a huge hypochondriac. I thought I saw God right then and there. I almost dropped to my knees. I was like, holy fuck. I'm not going to lie. I went and got an AIDS test immediately. I was so fucking sick. And to even have to put me through that bullshit and have me wait those extra days to get the results back was like, I was already planning my will. I was already thinking about where I wanted to be cremated at, what I wanted said at my eulogy. That's how fucking insane I was when it came to that. So I had a huge blowout with him. This is already like the very beginning of it. And I was straight up with him. I said, you make me fucking sick. You are a fucking liar. You're all about fucking anything in sight. And you disgust me. Make no fucking mistake. If you want to be friends with me, we could be friends here. If you want to be in a relationship, we can be in a relationship. But make no fucking mistake. I will cheat on you every fucking chance I get. I will go behind your back every fucking chance I get because I don't fucking trust you. If you can live with that, perfect. Let's get down. Let's do this. It's back to business as usual. And he had said, well, let me prove myself to you. I'm sorry that I lied to you. I was completely safe. I said, I don't care if you were safe or not. The fact that you kept that from me will always be a reminder in my head of who the fuck you are. He chose to stick around. He knew what he was getting himself into. I knew what I was getting myself into. Further down into the relationship, we're jet setting. We're having a good time. We're in and out of Vegas. We're in and out of Palm Springs, like I said before, all on his dime, all pretty much free. This guy was he tried to prove himself so bad to me. My whole family liked him. He really charmed the shit out of him, which the devil will do. This is the kind of guy that every Friday was our Friday night. We would go and do dinner. And there was a couple of times where I had to do family things with like my mom and my family. And we would have dinners and I would invite him. This motherfucker would show up with a Barney's shopping bag or a Diesel shopping bag at that time. Christina laughs at me when I say Diesel, but whatever. Remember, I'm old. So back then that was the fucking style. So he would show up to the restaurant with a bag with brand new clothes. And he said this in front of my mother one time. He said, go change into that. I've already seen you in what you're wearing twice. And I was like, what? And he was like, go change into it. He knew my size. He was a Leo, impeccable when it came to taste, moon and Taurus, knew exactly what was going to be comforting to me, bought me all the shit that I was into, even to the colors. He was so precise. He knew everything about what I liked. Like that part of it, I knew he was showing off to my mom. My mom was like, don't ever get rid of this guy. Like, he is, oh my God, like who does that? And I was like, I know. I said, but you have no idea how he is on the back end. She's like, don't be a fucking idiot. You know, you're not the easiest person to get along with, blah, blah, blah. He continued to woo my family. He bought my mom at this time. Again, this is all fraud. This is all tricks that he would pull. He bought her one of those big 42-inch screen televisions to put in the living room. He had the key to the house. He installed it in the house. He also bought her a brand new gas grill. This fucking thing was huge. Set it up, put it out in the front yard for her. So when we came home, it was there. That's how he flexed. That's how he got down. That's how he tried to prove himself. So all this stuff is going on. We're getting deeper and deeper into a relationship. The abuse is getting worse and worse. The drug abuse is getting worse and worse. We go to Vegas one night. We're staying at the Venetian. And he bought me a whole set of Louis Vuitton luggage. Loved it. I used to fucking flaunt that shit like I made it myself, like I was wearing it. I thought I was Kim with all the Louis Vuitton signs all over me when I'd come in, when I'd show up. That's the kind of queen that I was. You think I'm Queenie now with my Versace glasses? I used to have every color Gucci sunglasses under the rainbow and would think I was Kim walking into fucking the Venetian with my Biggie here. That's how involved I was. We get to the room. I'm being a miserable fucking cunt. I'm not gonna lie. I'm fucking sassing him. Just to throw this in there. I honestly, out of the 5 years that we were together, we only had sex. I only fucked him maybe 4 times out of 5 years. That trust there, I'm telling you, when it comes to trust, I'm huge on that. I just couldn't see past that. Even like with a condom, I was just so, I couldn't do it. And we were at the Venetian and we were taking a bath. I was taking a bath. I'm sitting in there. I'm sitting in the bathtub and he comes in the bathroom, asks if he can join me. He said, I rolled you a joint. There's a couple of lines there. Can I join you? And I was like, oh, you're coming in bearing gifts. And he's like, yeah. So he gets in the tub and I was like, but I don't want to do anything. I just want to enjoy my bath. Let's fucking relax. He's like, okay, yeah, no problem. And he starts inching himself closer to me. He starts rubbing up against my leg, starts rubbing on my body. I wanted to see if his dick was hard. So I touch his dick underneath the water and it's fucking as hard as a rock. And I was like, oh wow. And so, I'm not feeling him. He used to disgust the living shit out of me. He started rubbing up against me and he was like, let me fuck you. And I was like, no, I can't or whatever. He was like, come on. And I was like, no. And he kept rubbing himself up against me. And he actually came. That's how fucking horny he was. He came from rubbing up against me. And the bitch that I was got up like I was fucking, you would have thought I was Michelle Pfeiffer in Scarface. I got up out of that fucking bath and I was like, Jesus Christ, if I would have known that's all it took to get you off, I would have been doing this months ago. He said, what did you say? And I said, it's so easy to get you off that I would have been, if I would have known that, I would have been doing this months ago. He slapped the living shit right out of me. I flew like I was Tina Turner in that fucking booth when Ike slapped the shit out of her. I got up and I was like, you motherfucker. We got into it and I was such the queen. I put my Gucci glasses on top of my head. I grabbed my luggage. I started making my way towards the door. He was like, oh, you're not fucking going with that shit. That is all mine. Slams the fucking door. It gets my finger caught in the doorway. He breaks my fucking finger. We end up getting in the car after that. We were black and blue. Just fucked up. I was like, let's go home. I'm done with this. Let's get back to LA. As soon as we get there, I'm dumping your fat ass. I am fucking done. We get in the car. He makes me fucking drive. I'm driving with a broken finger. This is the first time that I've ever been caught in a fucking sandstorm. I've never seen it before. I've seen it on Star Wars a million and one times, but not in real life. We were driving from Vegas and there was a huge sandstorm. I couldn't see fucking shit. He was falling asleep in the car on the way home. It took everything in me not to open the passenger side door and throw his fat ass out of the fucking door. That's how fucking pissed I was. We get back. It is over. For a little bit. We get back, we break up, we get back together. He comes bearing gifts just like I like, you know, tries to entice me. It goes smooth for a little bit here, but again, his true colors start to come out. I start getting more, you know, more bitchy, more entitled, more wanting things. He calls me at work one day and tells me that to meet him at the house after work, that he's gonna run to Walmart to go get tires for my car. And I was like, the car doesn't need tires. I was like, dude, you're going to get busted. I have a bad feeling about it today. Don't go. I woke up in a bad mood. I just felt like something was off here. Don't go get the tires. I don't need it. We can get it some other time. He's like, no. Just get your ass over here at 2:30 and we'll go get something to eat and we'll hang out. It's like, fine. Get over there at 2:30. Waiting there, he's not home. Tried calling his cell, not picking up, going straight to voicemail. Sat there. It now becomes 4:30 and I'm sitting there like wondering what the fuck. I knew that he was busted. I knew he was in jail. I drive all the way from Glendale back to Simi Valley, sit there and I'm waiting and the phone rings and it's a collect call from him being in jail. He calls me from jail, tells me that he got busted and it is hardcore that he's all the way in. I think he got busted. I want to say West Covina. I'm not sure, but they transferred him to Linwood Correctional Facility out in Linwood. Bitches, mm-mm, 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 mm-mm. You know that video of Alicia Keys falling when she's on that bus and she's heading upstate to go visit that dude in jail? Why was I thinking I was Alicia Keys going to visit my fucking man in jail? Do you have any fucking idea what I went through doing that shit? Do you have any fucking clue the type of mentality and beast that is involved when you go visit somebody in jail? This is Linwood. I don't know if y'all have been out there. It is fucking shady as fuck. I hate it. I'm a prissy little fucking queen walking in. You know, I'm doing a bump of coke on my way up to the fucking courthouse, getting in there. They make me stand in line with these people. You've got, I shit you not, you guys are going to think I'm fucking lying. You've got baby mama in front of the line. You got the mistress and the side bitch in the back of the line. You have regular family members coming to visit the people that are in jail. You have a bitch like me standing in there, just standing there like an entitled little princess. I don't know how many fights I had to defuse or had to break up between baby's mama and fucking the mistress here, but I was like, girls, he is not even worth it. This motherfucker is sitting behind bars. We are out here. Let's go get a drink. I've got coke in the car. Let's squash this shit. Ended up making really good friends with people there. Even with the guards, they knew me on a first name basis. They would, I'm not kidding. It is just like Goodfellas. They knew who I was. They would bring me to the front of the line, knew that I wasn't about that life, and I would have like easy access to go back there and visit him. I go back there and I visit him. He's in jail. It's a long process. I'm just getting to the nitty gritty of it. He was in county. He ended up going to Linwood. And then I go to visit him. And just like on the movies, you're behind a glass. You're sitting in this room that smells like fucking piss, fart, and shit. It's disgusting. That fucking kid's crying there. There's a whole bunch of dudes that are behind the glass. Not gonna lie, bitches. Some of these guys were hot as fucking fuck. You know, my ass was showing my titties. I was bending over. I was doing everything I can to get the attention. He's gonna come in. My boyfriend's gonna come in at the time with his dumb fucking smile on his face. And I'm like, you look like you're having a good time here. And he's like, no, I'm just happy to see you. I see him looking at another inmate and they're like making googly eyes with each other. And I was like, I am here almost every weekend coming to visit you. He was there for 3 months. I would go for almost 3 months to visit him in jail, go all the way out there, put money on his fucking books. I thought that was something you only heard in rap songs. You know, put money on my fucking books. No, bitches, it is fucking real. You put money on their books, they can buy toothbrushes, they can buy cookies, they can buy toothpaste, toiletries, all that fucking shit. Had no fucking clue. Like a dumb fuck, I was putting money on there. He's living it up. He's getting his ass fucked 3 ways from Sunday. I'm out here, you know, worrying about what's going on here, looking at my bank account, seeing that I'm having no money. I'm not getting new clothes on a daily basis here. My life is in shambles. I feel like I'm the one doing time. He's living it up. I was like, oh my God. I stick it through with him. I wait till he gets out of jail. Make a long story short, he comes out with 2 felonies. It wasn't a good look for him. He had a hard time getting a job. Our relationship, not because I used him for all he was worth or he was done with it and he was on parole, couldn't do it or whatever. It just didn't end up working out. We tried to get back together again. Made plans with a good friend of mine to go to Vegas at that time for my birthday because my birthday was right around the corner. He calls me, we get back together. He's like, my birthday's coming up. What are we going to do, Fred? I said, I'm actually going to Vegas with my friend. I can't do that. I made these plans when we were broken up. He gave me an ultimatum. He was like, either you go with me or we're done. And that is it. No more going back. And I was like, okay, well, you're giving me an ultimatum and I don't do ultimatums. So you go do you and I'm done with it. And never saw him, never spoke to him, never seen him since. Have never reached out to him. We are done. But to make us to gain a better perspective on it, he was actually a really good guy. I mean, if the circumstances were different and we had a fair shot, yes, it wouldn't have worked out, but it would have gone a lot better. There's so many more stories when it comes to that. So yeah, that was the last true relationship that I was involved in. Honest relationship that I was involved in. Everything else from that point forward was fucking around or just casually seeing each other. No real commitments all the way up until this day here. But doesn't mean I've been stagnant or I haven't been having a good time. It's just I haven't been involved. I have not found anybody that is relationship material for me or that I would even consider getting involved in a relationship with. I've dated so many guys. I'm very, very picky. I'm going to share one last story. There was this one guy that I started to see. This was a few years after I had dated, after I broke up with the bad guy. And I started to feel myself again. I met him at a bar and he's the one that I said was above my pay grade. We're at a club and I was eyeballing him the whole night. He's eyeballing me back. He's fucking beautiful, gorgeous, good looking white guy. We're wrapping things up. We're getting ready to leave the club. And he comes up to me and he's like, just like out of a movie, you guys are going to think I'm exaggerating. I am not. He came up to me and he was like, I would never forgive myself if I walked out of here without getting your number. Do you know my stupid ass looked behind me thinking that he was talking to somebody else? I was like, who are you talking to? He's like, I'm talking to you. And I was like, oh, wow, really? He's like, yeah. So we exchanged numbers, we kept in contact, we set up a date for the following week to meet at the same bar to have drinks, and then we were going to go do something else, maybe dinner or a movie, whatever. We meet at the place. I am nervous as fuck. I spent like so many hours trying to find the perfect outfit. I knew Jay. Jay and I were not close at this time. This, how funny. Jay was actually a part of the story. Jay was still friends with people that he was friends with at that time. We had known each other, and I remember giving him an, I remember introducing him to my astrologer friend, the one that I consider my spiritual godmother. He got a reading, and he was there that day that I was going on a date, and I was showing him my outfit, and he made fun of it. He was like, "What are you, fucking 12? How funny. I just remember that. But yeah, I get gussied up. I go there on this date. He is looking fine as fuck. He is, again, so beautiful. We end up hitting it off. We have a really good time. I walk him to his car. He asks me, he's like, "Can I get a hug from you?" And I was like, "Of course." So he hugs me. I knew it was going to be something more. We start kissing. We start making out. He starts pushing himself up against me. Like I said before, if you're ready to fuck, you're ready to fuck. There's nothing wrong with it. Don't fucking hold yourself back. We're all adults here. We're not fucking five. If we want to get down, we get down. That's exactly what I did. I made my way down his pants, felt what I was working with, and decided, let's go back to your place. Get in the car. We head back to his place, and we have a really, really good night. I mean, it was amazing. It was beautiful. I'm going to share something funny real fast. I had gained just a little bit of weight back from the last guy that I was with, and I was still feeling a little self-conscious when it came to my stomach area, and I didn't have pajamas when I spent the night at his house, so he was like, "Let's just sleep naked." And I was like, fuck, okay. So we ended up sleeping naked, and I can't sleep. I'm like, oh my God. Like, what if the sunlight comes in and you know, you see my fat stomach, or you see something that's very, you know, not very flattering. So I practically stayed awake the whole night. The sun comes up. I tighten that fucking sheet under my ass so fucking hard. Get up while he's still asleep and make my way to my clothes, put my clothes on, end up saying goodbye to him. Have to go to work. We make plans to meet up for that weekend. He decides he wants to take me home to meet his family. I was nervous. I was like, oh my God, this is so soon. But he knew what he wanted. We saw each other another day in between. We had sex again. It was really good. He decides to take me to a family function. It is his sister and his brother-in-law's house. I bring a bottle of Patron there. They have bottles of shit going on. The brother-in-law has weed. You know, I'm all about weed. So we're sitting in the, we're sitting there in the backyard. We're having a good time. We're drinking. We're fucking smoking tons of weed, laughing our asses off. I asked where the bathroom's at. He walks me to the bathroom. This is what a great guy he is. He walks me in there, asks if I'm okay, asks if I need anything, and if I'm comfortable. If not, we could leave right then and there. I said, no, this is great. I'm having a good time. Your sister's amazing. He kisses me. We make out. We walk back out to the backyard, having a good time. We're so fucked up that we can't drive. He only lives like 6 city blocks away, which is, oh, it's a bit of a walk, but I'm not going to drive. So we start walking back to his place. We take off, and I know it's stupid, and I know it's a little superficial, and I know that it's a little bit shitty, but he starts running down the street. He's obviously very drunk, but the facial expressions that he was making when he was running down the street were something that I would never forget, and I thought it looked really ugly, and I couldn't get past it, and I knew that I was going to have sex with him that night, and I knew that I was going to imagine those facial expressions while he's fucking me, and I couldn't get past it, and I ghosted him. I did. I ended up going back to his place, fucked him that night, and then never picked up the phone again. He reached out. He's like, "I thought we had a connection." Ended up changing my number because I was so sad and crying and I felt so guilty. I am paying for that. I paid for that. I've had the same shit happen to me. It's not a good feeling. But yeah, if I could take that back, I would. That's how I am. Those are relationships with me. That's what I was about. I'll get into more shit later on in the show, but I wanted to share those things with you. Tell me what you guys think, if it's funny or if that's happened to you. But yeah, I am all over the place again on this show. Let me share my alien story with you, and then I'll talk conspiracy theories on another episode. But I don't want to just make it all about my love life on this episode and men and all the bullshit. Let's get into aliens. So I've mentioned this before on other podcasts, but I never really got into detail about it, and I'm going to do that today. I don't care what anybody else says. I know there's a lot of alien believers out there. I am one of them. I have witnessed it. I have seen it. No dreaming, no bullshit, nothing fake, no CGI, nothing like that. I mentioned before that I was being visited by William Cooper, that conspiracy theorist who passed away. He was murdered. He visited me religiously for 2 months, brought so many things to my attention when it came to the government, when it came to politics, man-made diseases, when the bird flu or swine flu virus was going out, all those man-made things that were going on, chemtrails, how he was murdered, CDC shit, all that stuff. He decided that he was going to expose me to aliens. I don't know how that works between being a ghost or being a spirit and then involving aliens. I do not know how that works. I was living in that little apartment in Simi Valley, the one that had all that great energy that I miss very much. A lot of shit went down during that time. In the 2 years that I lived there, so much progress, so much evolution, so much change, so much growth was going on. One night I ended up, the kids went to bed. We had a really good night. I go to my room. I leave the door cracked because I want to hear what's going on with the kids. They're still really young at that time. I don't want them to fall off the bed. My son was always fucking around in his bed, falling off and, you know, getting crazy when he was sleeping. So I always left the door open. And my kids and I have a great relationship. We always play practical jokes on each other. We're very open with one another. We are very comedy with one another. They used to like to scare the shit out of me. They used to hide in my closet and scare me when I would go into my room. So I'm very aware of the energy when it comes to somebody hiding, when it comes to a ghost being in the room, like a spirit, an entity. This one was completely different. I was asleep. I woke up because I felt like something different was in the room. I knew immediately it wasn't my kids. I knew it wasn't a ghost. This felt, for lack of a better word, this felt intelligent. I don't know how else to describe it. It just felt intelligent. I kept hearing these small little tones. What I mean by tones, I mentioned when Caitlin Douglas did my Reiki session, she had that big crystal bowl, and I don't know what she was doing to that bowl, but I don't know if she was banging on it or moving something in it, but it created these loud tones. The tones that I heard when the alien was there was not as intense as the tones that Caitlin had, but it was like sonar-y or something like that. I can't explain it, but I woke up to those tones in my ears and I felt that energy, that high level of intelligence energy in the room. I start panning the room, looking around like, where are you? What is it? I know you're here. Whatever was in the room, I could feel, knew that I knew it was there. And I knew that it knew that I was psychic for whatever reason. Because remember I said in last episode, I can always tell when somebody taps in because it's like lifting the extension up from another receiver in the house into my head. And that's exactly what I felt. I felt him kicking around in my head and knowing what I was thinking. And I'm looking around and I start looking towards the corner of the room where the doorway's at. Just like that thing that was breathing heavy with the spells, that's where this thing was hiding, but the door was halfway open, so I can kind of see a little bit of a shadow there. It was really, really dark, and I felt the energy being there. That's where I was guided towards. That's where I was seeing. And I started looking, and I was like, God, that shadow looks really, really dark. It looks darker than a normal shadow. It looks more on the black side. And so I started moving my head and kind of trying to get a better look. I did not inch my way off the bed yet because I was a little scared, but I started looking, and I noticed that this thing tensed up and was wondering. I felt it in my head, just as it was reading my mind, I was reading its mind, and I felt it wondering. I felt it worried that I was going to get off the bed to go over there. And I'm looking at it, and as I'm moving my head around, I can see the outline of its body. And this fucking thing was huge. We lived on the second floor. The ceilings are about 8 to 9 feet tall, so they're really high up. This thing almost touched the ceiling. That's how tall it was. And I'm looking at it, and it was wearing some sort of a jacket or coat or something like that. I know that sounds weird, but I could see its limb, its arm, right before it hits its hand. And this thing was skinny. It was so skinny, it reminded me of a broom handle. And I'm still looking at it. I'm like, oh my God, I could see it. And I moved my head to get a better look, and this thing was trying to mimic me, like trying to make believe that maybe it was a shadow or whatever. And instead of moving its head all the way, I don't know whether or not it has the ability to move just its neck like we do, but its whole body moved, like went to the side. And I was like, there you are. And it was, again, reading my mind. It was completely in awe by the fact that I knew that it was there, that I wasn't worried about it, and I knew what it was doing, and that we were not exchanging information. We were just feeling each other out. My guys decide they're going to tap in. When they tapped in, that thing heard it for sure, because it tensed up and I could feel it listening to the same shit I was listening to. And my guides were like, it wants to leave. You need to look away. And I was like, no, I don't want to look away. I want to see what this is. And my guides are like, you're going to agitate it. It needs to leave right now. It wants to leave. You need to look away. And I could see that thing kind of moving a little bit in the corner of the room. I know it sounds like I'm going crazy, but trust me, I'm not. And I heard in my head a different voice or a different type of energy. It wasn't my guide say, look. And when I looked, when I heard that word look, I immediately looked at my leg. And when I looked at my leg from the knee to the ankle down, that I already got chicken legs as it is. My legs are really skinny. My leg looked as skinny as that broom handle arm of his. It scared the living shit right out of me. I was like, oh my God, what did you do to me? I brushed my leg off, and my guides are like, no, it's an illusion. It's a trick. Don't worry about it. It's gone. It needed to leave. It needed to distract you. It's gone. Look. And I looked up, and that thing was gone. that is the first incident when it came to aliens. The second one, I know that's a fucking jagged pill to swallow, but it is true. I saw it. I was not asleep. I was not imagining it. It was not an illusion. It was not trick. Nothing. It was 100% real. My second encounter with it was when I lived in Oregon in the first house that we moved into. I was having a bad night all over the place psychically. I'm falling asleep in my room. I'm having a dream. And in this dream, I'm in a house and there's two little kids there. And then the front door, someone's knocking at the front door. The kids open the door and it's a guy. He looks at me and I knew that he was shady. I knew that he was here to do harm. I knew there was something off about him. He looks at me, gives me a dirty look, starts walking up the stairs. The staircase is one that you could see from the downstairs going all the way up to the upstairs. So you could see him walking down the hallway of the upstairs into the bedroom. He knocks on one of the bedroom doors. A blonde girl opens the door. She looks at him. She's like, hi. He looks at me, he pulls something out of his back pocket and shuts the door. And I was like, oh my God, he's going to murder this bitch right here. I need to get the kids out of here. So I grabbed the kids. I'm like, let's go. I said, run to the closest neighbor's house. Don't look back, just go. And we run outside the house and there's like these cholos across the street and they're lighting fireworks and they're looking at me and they're throwing the fireworks in my direction and they're not popping like the way they should be. They're unfolding. They're not like exploding like fireworks. They're hitting the ground and they're unfolding and they're changing shape. And instead of making a popping sound like a firework sound, it's more of like a sonar type sound, like a tone. And I immediately knew I have such a strong connection with the outside world when I'm asleep that I know that I'm dreaming and I can change the course of my dreams and I can wake myself up instantly when I need to. I knew that something was going on with me in the real world. Something was actually happening to me right then and there. I was like, wake up. And as I was waking up, I was trying to figure out what was going on there. And I just, again, in my mind's eye, I looked and I saw this little thing sitting on my pillow with some sort of suction cup device over my head, putting those tones in my ear. I woke up with the biggest fucking earache ever, just like Caitlin's Reiki session. I had a huge earache from these tones. I kept hearing them. I still hear them to this day. Sometimes they're really, really loud. Sometimes they're really faint, but it almost sounds like an organ or I don't know. It's nothing that I've ever heard of before. But yeah, those are my two biggest experiences with aliens. I'm sure I'm going to have plenty more here. I am so connected when it comes to that type of energy and that type of stuff there that there's no doubt in my mind that I'll be visited again. I will have more stories to give you once they come and make contact. But until then, we're going to have to wait it out. As usual, the show is all over the place. I'm still going over emails. I'm still booking guests here. I'm still on the hunt to do the perfect reading. Well, not the perfect reading, to find the perfect person to read on air here. So please keep the submissions coming in. Let me know what your thoughts are on my love life and what I mentioned earlier, and then what you think about aliens. And I also want to hear about conspiracy theories as well from you guys. So please email me what your thoughts are on that. Feel free to hit me up at askinyourhead@gmail.com. Feel free to email suggestions for the show, pictures of people that you want read, pictures of yourself that you want read, anything that I can do to help out, please email me askinyourhead@gmail.com. Anybody looking to get a reading, want some insight, want some guidance, want to test a psychic ability of mine, please hit me up for a reading. You can go to chrismedina.guide, sign up for a quick half hour session. That's chrismedina.guide. Feel free to visit me on social media at Psychic Chris M. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Psychic Chris M. Feel free to take a look at me, see how good looking I am, how queenie I am, all of the above. Until next time, you guys, keep it real, keep it strange, keep it alien, keep it off your knees, keep it sexy, keep it in your head. This is Chris Medina signing off.